Welcome to New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care's podcast. This free podcast is made possible through your generosity. Please consider making a donation through our Ways to Give link on zencare.org.
It's all good. So, I like cozy and warm. No preferences on my side, but I like cozy and warm. I've been reading, this has nothing to do with anything other than I've been reading a novel by E.F. Benson, Map and Lucia. Anyone from England knows Map and Lucia? Wonderful. Actually, I've been listening to it on tape. I still have a tape recorder. So this last week, I've been listening to Map and Lucia, and it's about these two wonderful, wonderful, terribly, terribly English ladies in the 30s in these little villages in England. And they're always, whenever I'm in one of my kind of blue, depressed cycles, I like to listen to Agatha Christie and Map and Lucia, because I always think of cottages and fireplaces and knitting and, you know, listening to the BBC Radio 4. I thought there was a point in my life when I thought that's what I'd be doing in my 60s, you know, sitting in a cottage in the English countryside, you know, toasting scones over the fire, and knitting, and, you know, had a little vegetable garden out back and a couple of cats and a dog. As you can see, it didn't quite work out that way. And yet, here we are. Is that thing going? So, in our Sangha here at the center, we are in our 18th day of our 90-day period of committing to sit, our intense practice period. And we're working with a book called The Wholehearted Way, or the Bendawa. It's from a fascicle by Ehe Dogen, who was the founder of the Soto Zen School, of which our school is in the 13th century. And each day, some of you may have signed up for the Commit to Sit, we'll send out a little paragraph from the book and a reflection for the day's practice. And today's paragraph was, "You should know that even if all the Buddhas in the 10 directions, as numerous as the sands of the Ganges River, together engage the full power of their Buddha wisdom, they could never reach the limit or measure or comprehend the virtue of one person's zazen." So, what he's saying here is that no matter how many Buddhas in all the directions, as many as the grains of sand in the Ganges, if you engaged all of those hundreds of millions of Buddhas together, their wisdom would never be able to comprehend the zazen of one person. So to put it simply, how can I possibly pretend to fully know who you are? To know how you experience your life? We often think that we know exactly how you're feeling, or I know what you should do to make this better. We have no idea how to comprehend another's experience of the Dharma. We can sit up here on this cushion and we can talk about it and teach it, and we can hear about it from many, 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 many teachers, whether it's from Trungpa or Tsultrum or Maizumi or Suzuki or any of the lineages, any of the teachers. You could put them all in the same room at the same time if they were all living, And their combined wisdom would still not be equal to my experience, to my understanding. The Buddha said, remember, be a light unto yourself. Don't believe a word I say. Experience it for yourself. Today's reflection was, how can you practice without any idea of gain? What are you willing to give up to allow your own awakening? How can you cultivate your virtue? So, what stories and ideas and concepts and prejudices and biases are you willing to give up in order to wake up in this life? In order to fully experience your own awakening in your own zazen practice or your own sitting practice. In our practice we call it zazen, meditation, seated mind. So when you're sitting on your cushion and you hear an instruction that goes something like, where is your mind right now? Come back to your breath, it's a gentle nudge to get out of your stories, get out of your own preferences. I don't like this, I'm bored, this is not my practice, I prefer the Lojong, or I prefer metta, or I prefer this, or I prefer that. Well, you're sitting on this cushion in this moment, doing this practice. Can you be fully with it? Can you be fully present to what you're doing in this moment? And all those stories of, don't like this, I'm bored. It's too noisy, it's too hot, it's too cold. This is everything that is arising in this moment. This is the Dharma presenting, second by second, the teachings for you. Not to say that for you, your practice shouldn't be Lojong or Metta or insight of Vipassana or Zen. That's not to say that at all, but to say the practice that you're sitting in this moment is the practice you're sitting in. Be with it. I remember once I went to a 10-day retreat from a practice totally different to mine in one of the Tibetan schools, and I thought I would hang myself. It was unintelligible to me. But I had to give myself over to the experience of it. Unfortunately, the teacher that for this particular retreat had lost or had parted ways with his translator in Germany, and he spoke very little English. And it was really difficult. As never having been on a Tibetan retreat before, and most of the people there had, and they knew what was happening. So for me, it was like, oh my God, I'm on another planet. And the form was different, and the teachings was not from my understanding, but it was an invaluable teaching. Many different flavors of the Dharma. And so over the course of the days, I was able to settle into it, into what was happening, and give up my idea of what this retreat should be about. And it was... really, 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 really worthwhile. And at the end of the retreat, I got to meet with Rinpoche, who actually quite openly and wholeheartedly told me that Zen was not Buddhism, that our practice didn't count. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. Yep, And I wanted to engage him and see what that was about for him. And I came away with a good idea of where that was coming from in him. And it simply showed me a different understanding. I could have come away with all sorts of ideas about who this particular person was and all sorts of negatives, but it's like, well, this is his understanding. And I was able to actually sit with that. It's a great lesson for me to be able to, yeah, you know, this teacher steadfastly in his practice, there's no other practice, there's only this one way. That's not my experience of the Dharma. I think there are many, many ways, which is why I think this Sangha and this community, Karuna Sangha, Serenity Sangha, and the other groups that are here, we are able to hopefully integrate and be fluid and listen to all the many different teachings and concepts. The Brahma King said, "It is just that your mind has highs and lows and does not rest on Buddha wisdom. Therefore, you see this land as impure. Shariputra, the Bodhisattva treats all things and beings, each one of them with perfect equality. His deeply searching mind is pure. And because it rests on Buddha wisdom, it can see the purity of this land. Seeing everything just as it is. It's just that your mind has highs and lows. So there's no middle ground. Here, it's here. But when we're able to find that middle way, when we're able to rest in the practice and see all things and all beings as not separate from who we are, then we see that the mind is pure. But as long as we're striving for difference, for separation, for preferences, we're in a battle. And the good thing is it's part of our human condition. We'll always do it. We'll always want things to be slightly different. We'll always prefer something. The grass is always greener over there, or, you know. This is not how it should be. This is not what I thought it would be at this point in my life. And this it is. This is what it is. And so when I keep coming back to this moment, this sound of the sanitation truck, the sound of this clock ticking that drives me insane. I can't tell you how many times I've asked that we go to Muji and buy a new clock that doesn't tick. You know, it's like, what have I got to do? Shall I go get it myself? Yeah. And that'll put an end to my suffering. But there's a piece of me that just wants to cling to. Let's see just how long it takes for them to get it. Well, I'll probably do that tomorrow. And I'll leave the box on someone's desk and say, "Don't worry, got it." You know? That's me not resting in the pure land. Not resting in the wisdom. That's me stepping out of my practice. Actually, that's my practice. To notice how I do that. To notice how I can actually stay in my suffering at the expense of only my own sanity, not anyone else's. I mean, yeah, it's not just about the clock. Allowing everything to be just as it is. As difficult as it is, sometimes. This is a poem by Mary Oliver. It's called The Buddha's Last Instruction. Make of yourself a light, said the Buddha before he died. I think of this every morning as the east begins to tear off its many clouds of darkness to send up the first signal, a white fan streaked with pink and violet and even green. An old man, he lay down between two sala trees, and he might have said anything, knowing it was his final hour. The light burns upward, it thickens and settles over the fields. Around him, the villagers gathered and stretched forward to listen. Even before the sun itself hangs disattached in the blue air, I am touched everywhere by its ocean of yellow waves. No doubt he thought of everything that had happened to him in his difficult life. And then I feel the sun itself as it blazes over the hills like a million flowers on fire. Clearly, I'm not needed yet. I feel myself turning into something of inexplicable value. Slowly, beneath the branches, he raised his head. He looked into the faces of that frightened crowd. Slowly, beneath the branches, he raised his head. He looked into the faces of that frightened crowd. There it is. He and Mary Oliver, being with everything, not having to do anything. Just be. Watching the morning clouds, the sunrise, sitting between the trees, looking into the faces of the crowd. Clearly, I'm not needed, yet I feel myself turning into something of inexplicable value. So beautiful. Can you use this practice of just being? To see the inexplicable value of everything arising just for you. Just for you to experience. Not worry about anybody else's experience. And to know that when you're sitting with the entire universe, but actually it's not just you. And it is. And it isn't. Thank you.
New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care is currently offering our Commit to Sit program, a 90-day self-commitment to sit and practice every day. This program is generously sponsored by Gayam. See zencare.org for details.